Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
In 2017.
It's a troll!
Run hard and tackle hard.
You'll hear more footy than ever before. Across the Triple M Network. For Bryden's lawyers, protecting your future. Peter Sterling, Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor, and James Hooper.
Oh, you gotta love your rugby league.
Triple M rocks the footy.
This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
Yes, g'day, buddy. Welcome to the show, and what a show it will prove to be. We are only less than 3 weeks out from the most eagerly anticipated State of Origin decider in the history of the world. I don't think I'm overstating that at all. So this Wednesday's doesn't really count. 18-16 doesn't really matter. It's all about next time. Wendell Saylor, before we get into the football proper, I just wish to say that your style as you arrived today was brilliant. Not only is the moustache that we showed last week has grown beautifully, you're wearing some sort of jumper, not just slung around your shoulders. It was slung over on only one shoulder with the arms tied around the middle. Just talk us through your fashion idea.
No, I just thought I like to be a little bit different, and it's a little bit of something I used to do when I used to travel overseas a fair bit, Tony.
Like a European thing.
Is that rugby? Is it a rugby thing? Yeah. Is it?
Well,
it's a rugby thing, Tony.
Well, it's funny you say that. As you know, I did a rugby function in Canberra last week. I did one yesterday. So maybe a little bit of a rugby touch there.
Mate, I'm not in a position to throw stones in terms of appearance. But, mate, the mo. Just let's go back to that. Talk me through it. Are you happy with the volume?
It was there last
where
week.
Are we? Yeah, I know, but it's
something of it.
Mate, it's
is it there now?
It's a bit like it's work in progress. So don't worry about it. My wife doesn't like it, but I'm gonna really work on it the next month. So actually, I'll tell you what else. Through Luke Brooks, he's trying to outmow me or something. I don't know what he's doing. He looks like D'Artagnan or something.
I love it. All right. Well, you've done Ryan Girdler a terrific thing by actually turning up into the same studio where everybody else is this week.
Why? Because, is that, Tony?
Well, when State of Origin won, when Queensland was defeated, Wendell didn't have the good grace to actually be in the same space as
us. That's exactly right. I'm used to it, though, Tony. I know it's been like, 10 years and, the skin's pretty thick.
Mm-hmm.
I copped it on Wednesday. I mean, look, I gave Wendell a little bit of a hard time during Origin 1. I'll admit that. I was excited, but I just think he went over the top on Wednesday.
Yeah.
He went, like, the thing is, with the box up there at Suncorp, honestly, Tony, it's about one or two square metres. It's tiny.
Right.
The one at ANZ is about 10 square metres, and all of a sudden he's on top of me, and he's got that, I can feel the mohairs on the back of the neck, and the heavy breathing, and Gal was next to me. There was a lot of man in a little space, and it just made me awfully uncomfortable.
Benny Hannett was there too, so it was good to support, but can I just say this, Gerds? You and Gal, you were looking pretty happy at halftime, so you were looking at us high-fiving. Right. So what goes around comes around.
All right, I'm going to play a little bit of the call in just one moment. James Hooper, obviously from Fox Sports, have you enjoyed that game? And I understand you've followed it up, haven't you, in terms of watching?
Oh, look, Tone, I made myself sit through the second half three times because you like to try and, I wanted to try and understand why Queensland are the champion team that they are.
How'd you go?
The results of the change, mate.
Took poor options.
Have you called Laurie with the results?
I'm still scratching my head, to be fair. I don't think Laurie needs, he doesn't need my advice, that's for sure.
Do you think, we all talk about passion, obviously, Gerds, we're all very passionate, yourself, Hoops. Do you think Joey Johns is, his analysis of the game is fair? Because he did call, I think we all knew that Thurston was in trouble, but that's passionately...
But I loved it. He's the eighth immortal. Yeah. There's only eight of them, and he's the last one who got inducted. So when he speaks, you have to listen. He is, in my view, the best player of all time. Do you disagree?
He's always with what he said? For me... No, I don't disagree, but it's probably the way that he said it. Like, I could see what
he's
he was
passionate,
trying to say.
Mate, it's Origin. That's what we love about State of Origin.
Can we get into that in some more detail? We will play exactly what Joey had to say. Yeah. And we're going to break it all down. We're going to dig as deep as we possibly can. And, we need your help, 133353. Is there something that you've heard or seen during the game that, nobody else has said? Love to hear from you. 133353 is our number. We'll get to that big story. Jonathan Thurston, of course, out of State of Origin 3, the decider. His Origin journey has now come to an end. What a journey it is. We're not going to get there, but just for this moment, I think we should go back to what Ryan Girdler had to say about those moments in the commentary box and just how unbiased the call was. Last time it was you, Gerds, who managed to voice who you loved. This time it was the great man himself, Wendell Saylor. Have a listen.
If there's one guy you want to have kicking in a moment like this, yeah, it's Thurston.
Come on, Jono.
I've never seen anything like it.
Thurston, a moment made for a champion. Here he comes. The moment is his. He moves it to the right. Comes back. He got it. Yes! He got it.
Yes. Oh! Yes. Thurston, you are gone. You are gone.
Excuse me. Thurston, you are gone.
In hindsight, do you reckon you overshot the run rate?
Yeah. No, because I'll tell you, no, I don't think I did, because when you understand what sort of is going on there, you knew that Thurston probably wasn't never going to play Origin 3. He did well to play Origin 2, and Kevy had 7 changes. If they lose that game, that's how Thurston ends his career. So I probably knew for Kevy and Thurston what was on the line. So sorry about being passionate. But
no, that's good. Yeah, I looked at the picture on the back of the Daily Telegraph today with Thurston, and there are the angel wings. So if he's not God, he certainly is the next best thing. Plenty to get to. This is Saturday Triple M NRL. We're doing it for Bryden's Lawyers. Triple M rocks footy. Have a look at the Tyre Power scoreboard, see what's gone on so far. As you all know, Queensland, that win 18-16 over New South Wales and State of Origin 2. The Warriors and the Bulldogs, the Tigers and the Titans, 26-14. We're going to get to that game as well. The Titans too good for the Tigers. Great backing up from Aaron Woods. We're also going to talk in the next couple of hours about those players who backed up, those who couldn't. Plenty of injuries coming out of that game. Plenty of comment about whether players should or shouldn't back up. If you want to go to triplem.com.au, you can in fact see the footage of you gentlemen, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor, in the commentary box in those last moments. Mm. It does look very
close.
You
can kind of see me. Wendell's behind me a little bit, but you can kind of see me. The big man.
Just silhouetting over you.
When you actually go and kind of rub Paul Gallen on the shoulders, was that were you a bit frightened at all?
No, I don't care, mate. Like, mate, Gal gave as good as he got, mate. He was giving it to me, before halftime. Yeah. It was good banter. Benny Hannett was really humble. He was really quiet over there. But I thought at some stage when I was hugging Gal, he might just put a short right one on me.
I love it. It's all about the passion, and it was there to see. All right, now Jonathan Thurston, he won't be playing. He's out for this season. He's out for the rest of the season for the Cowboys. He's out for the Australian team as well later in the year. So it's an amazing thing. We're going to get to what that means for Queensland in a moment. I think, Wendell, you've spoken to the great man.
Yeah, look, I think, we did the Triple M call and we stayed a bit longer than we probably wanted to. And then on the way down, I went down to see Kevy and the boys, spoke to JT. And when you walked into that room, you knew there was something happened. No one said anything, but you knew that was JT's last Origin. There was no celebration. All the boys were hugging him. So, obviously the next day goes by and they're talking about his scans. And I think he's put the backpack on to make it like he's going to be all right. And then I spoke to Kevy yesterday morning. I said, mate, there's obviously the word that JT's been ruled out. Is that true? And he said, no, it's not true. But then, obviously, things didn't go according to plan for JT. And I rung Sam Thurston just to left a message on the phone. And, JT and Sam rung me back. And I just wanted to thank them because they've been really good. But he was doing it tough. And it was, I suppose, if you know JT, he does a lot away from the field as well. And he's been really good with my family. And just, he's been through some tough times, adversity. And just to hear Sam... JT didn't say a lot, but you could tell he was upset, and I just wanted to thank them for what they've done, and JT for the way that he played. Because whenever you walk into that dressing room, I think Gordy Tallis was in there with his kids. Mate, JT was taking photos with the kids, and that you wouldn't know it was his last game. So for him to put on that brave face, talk to everyone, at no stage did anyone let out that he was not going to play again. And that's, I think, the testament of him. Even the next morning, I think, with the media, came out, put on the brave face, and that's the theatre of sport, but... Mate, what better way to end your Origin with that clutch play?
Wendell, you were lucky enough to play plenty of games for Queensland. You won series with the Maroons. Where does that performance rank in Origin folklore for a bloke to essentially play 60 minutes with a busted shoulder and win the game?
Well, they talked about Wally, single-handedly stages. The Queensland team, I think, in 2001. But I think individually for a bloke, I don't even think he was at 70%. JT. He was gone. To be out there and to do that in the toughest arena in the world, I thought at some stage, when you see like a racehorse or something and it's not right, and it sort of happened to GI in that South game. He needed to come off, and I thought, mate, there's no way that he can. And then I think yourself, Gerds, we were saying he's got to come off, and it was unfair on him, and I just didn't want it to end that way. Obviously, the Blues were playing well, and I thought we were done and dusted, and I don't know how the Queensland team found that extra... I suppose that extra effort, but they did. And if JT doesn't play, Queensland don't win. Simple as that.
He was amazing, and he continues to be amazing and will be amazing again. Who knows? I'm not quite convinced. I think next year maybe the JT may make that amazing comeback into State of
Origin. The Alfie return.
Yeah, the Alfie return.
But it makes for a good third Origin. I don't care. Like, mate, as confident as we can be, Queensland, we need to understand that we got flogged 28-4 3 weeks earlier. So the attitude, I think, with the Queensland boys in general is, okay, we won this game, but we know how easy it can turn. Because through the forwards and through the middle, mate, Clemmer was so good.
Whoa, there it is. Yeah. There it is. Underdog. Yeah. We're going back to Suncorp and we're missing all our superstars.
Darius Boyd's out.
Come on, mate. You just beat New South Wales on their home turf to level the series up. And now you're going back home and it's Cooper Cronk's farewell. Mm-hmm. And you've got Billy Slater and you've got
JT
Cameron Smith.
On the sideline.
Yeah, but that, mate, Darius Boyd's out and we've got to make a change there. And obviously, you know, Thurston's out. That's two big players.
You've still got Cameron Smith, Billy Slater and Cooper Cronk.
Yeah, no, I'm not debating that, but I'm saying
might be the favourites.
I'm saying this.
I don't think they are. I don't know how the bookies have done that. I'm saying New South Wales.
I wouldn't
they're
write
the best
them off.
Underdogs of all time.
Yeah, I wouldn't write them off because as a Queenslander, I'm still worried about what they can do.
Yeah, I think they'll win. I think New South Wales will go up there and get the job. I'm really happy for JT. He had his, you know, it was a fitting finale, wasn't it? You know, that we saw, and I was really happy for him on the night, even though we lost. And I love Game 3, even though, you know, as a New South Welshman, I would have loved us to wrap that one up in Game 2. The fact that the series, everyone buys into that series because it's a three-game series. Yep. And even, you know, with our job coming in here and having to, you know, talk about the game and the build-up and that, it's so hard to do that with, you know, the dead rubber, the Game 3 that's not alive. So I just have the confidence that in New South Wales, when you get on the big stage, if you get two really good sides on the big stage and they both play their best, which usually in those sort of games they do, you know, like there's always that little bit, it's not complacency, but whenever you play Game 2, you're 1-0 up, you know in the back of your mind that there's a Game 3 opportunity if you lose that one, and it mightn't be conscious, but it's just there somewhere. And then, you know, it might have been a couple of those decisions in the second half from some of those New South Wales guys were based on the fact that they knew that even if, you know, they lost today, they could go into Game 3. And I think that's, you know, the best thing for the series. And I still think that, you know, two sides go up there. If New South Wales play their best, they'll win. They'll win. They'll beat Queensland up there. JT in, Darius Boyd in or out. I think they showed in that 60 minutes that if they play their best and Queensland play as good as they can, New South Wales at this point in time, I believe, are a better side. And I think they'll be able to do it up there in Game 3.
Good. Just going back to that, I mean, you kicked some goals in Origin against some pretty good Queensland teams. To kick that goal at the end for that pain in his shoulder, what would be the process there for him? Because, you know, we missed that one on the grand final from, you know, the other end on that right side. You know, what's that process there? What was his thoughts, you reckon?
The thing is with JT, I was watching during the game, you could tell that he was carrying his shoulder, but you could just see that he was that involved in the management of the team that he wasn't actually thinking about, you know, his defence or what he needed to do. You could just see, even with one arm down, he was pointing, and he was so emotionally involved in the game that not in one moment did you see him sort of start thinking about, oh, gee, can I do this anymore? And I think that's where he puts himself. That's what makes him such a special player. And as I said during the call, when he stepped up to that mark, there's not another guy in those big moments that you would want kicking for your team. And you could just see that. I think he learned a lot through that grand final experience as well, having that opportunity. And I bet after that grand final, he thought to himself, if I ever get another opportunity like this, I know what to do. And he got it. And it was one of the best strikes of all time. The way that he did it, you know, he's got that natural sort of draw from right to left. And it never looked like missing.
I thought he put it too far outside the right. And I think when it was swinging, I thought, no. And then it comes back late, as you said. And
it's perfect.
It was perfect.
He won't be there. Who will be to replace him? As one of the questions that was put to Queensland coach Kevin Walters when he appeared on NRL 360 on Fox Sports. Here's what he had to say.
Well, Michael Morgan would be an option for us.
Kevin Munster was there last night.
Munster was the 18th man, so he'd be another one. Corey Norman's been playing well for Parramatta. So those sort of guys. Moses Mbai is another one that would possibly come into the picture, so we have got some options there.
He's thrown a lot of options there. One option he didn't throw was Daly Cherry Evans. No. He's been in pretty good form. He's a Queenslander last time I looked, has played for Queensland. Why isn't he there?
I find it strange, Tone. Wendell, has DCE had his cards marked or what? Because he did that backflip on the Titans, he's in career best form. He seems a logical successor for that bench position. Yeah. Why did he not get a mention?
Is it that, or is it the fact that, you know, he hasn't had a lot of success at Origin? Is that, as well as the Gold Coast thing, part of the reasons that he's not been discussed?
I don't think that. I think there's just so many good halves in and around. And, I mean, it depends on what you do with Morgan. So if you're going to play Morgan at 5'8", do you bring DC into 14? I'm not sure what Kevy's
Well, that's what he's done before.
I know. No, I agree. But I think when he was at 14, I think he was injured when... remember he was injured, I think, the last time he came in, Cooper Cronk got injured. And
well, he was part of that 2014 side when Cooper Cronk was out and they lost. Is that one of the main reasons? There must be something there, because club form-wise, he should be there.
His cards have been marked. His cards got marked because of the backflip on the Titans.
I think it's unfair that you judge him on that. And if it is, I'd be disappointed, because DC's played some really good football. He's handled himself really well. There's some good players there.
Have you got him in the mix, though, Dell? We heard they're ahead of or behind of Corey Norman, Moses Mbai. Have you got him?
He's in the mix, so...
For Kevy to mention Moses Mbai, a guy that's never played at that level and playing at a side at the moment that are struggling, ahead of, Daly Cherry Evans, it just seems strange.
Okay, I'm probably going to get shot down here.
Okay.
And it's nothing personal, but... And this is the way that I would do it. So I would give Michael Morgan an opportunity at 5'8", even though he's probably the best utility in rugby league, I'd probably put Cameron Munster to left centre because Darius Boyd's gone. And then on the bench,
So you don't bring O'Neill back into the side?
No.
Or Dane Gagai into the centres and Corey Oates back into the side?
Too much chopping and changing. No.
Why would you move Dane Gagai when his best football's been on the wing? And when he plays in the centres defensively, there's obviously question marks. When someone's playing at the level that Dane is, you don't move him from the wing. So Cameron Munster, I think, is like a bit like Jack Bird. He's good enough to handle the occasion with those players around him. Mm-hmm. And then I'd probably look at... I know this is probably big. Jacob Lilliman, I think he was on standby, wasn't he?
Lilliman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd probably look at bringing Sam Thido back in on the bench.
He's back.
I would bring him back in for that.
Maybe he doesn't want to come back.
No, but even like if it's up to Kevy.
But
Lilliman, I reckon, and that bench, that's the sort of bench. Because even through the forwards, and we got beaten through the forwards a fair bit there.
You wouldn't have a utility.
No, well, but you've got.
Well, you're picking Morgan at 5'8".
But then you've got Chambers.
So you have four forwards on the bench to try and counter New South Wales' dominance through
that's
the middle.
That's what I have.
I like the fact that Sammy Thido gets a recall. I think the fact that he's played over 30 Origins, he comes back and it could be his farewell game as well. Yeah. And I think that'd be a smart play by Kevy, because then there's a little bit more emotion involved. Obviously, you might have Cooper, then possibly Billy. Obviously, JT will be there and he'll be sort of paraded out. But to have Semi as well, I think he's a big favourite amongst Queensland fans, could be an emotional string that Kevy could pull.
And I've got to say, no disrespect to Corey Oates, because he's a good player, but for Corey to come back on that wing, then you've got to move Gagai into the centres. And I just don't think, when a young player's playing at the level that he's playing at, scoring tries and making metres, don't move him.
Gagai's been almost the player of the series.
100% he is. He was their best
in game one. He was their best in game two.
Was he man of the match in game two?
I thought he was man of the match in game two.
I thought there was a struck match between him and Josh Maguire.
Yeah, there was nothing in it.
All right, we are going to review game two in some detail for you next. This is Saturday Triple M NRL. We're doing it for Bryden's Lawyers.
Never miss a minute of the footy. Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere. The Bryden's Lawyers. Protecting your future. This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
The time to rewrite history is now.
With Peter Stern, Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor and James Hooper. Triple M rocks the footy.
Indeed it does. I'm looking at the Type House scoreboard. As we know, 18-16. That was State of Origin, the win for Queensland over New South Wales. The Warriors are too good for the Doggies, 21-14. And the Titans beat the Tigers, 26-14. I did my job on Wednesday evening.
What'd you do, Tony?
Well, I was at a pub and I managed to rob the Queenslanders, who were sitting in front of me before the big screen, of any joy in their victory.
Which pub were we at, Tony?
I'm at the Nelson.
Why? Because you left with about 30 seconds to go.
I didn't leave. And I maintained my abuse and my stupid stuff about, the shiny stuff on your table's cutlery. I did a whole lot of Queensland gag.
No, you did not.
I did. And I apologised to the people. And I apologised to all of Queensland on Wednesday. And I continue to apologise. But subsequently, I think, and I did a pretty good job.
Mm.
There they were. They were starting to get a little bit cocky, like I was at halftime trying to lead the chant of New South Wales and failing. And as they got, the victory for them seemed more improbable, but then absolute. I just had to keep going, so they weren't. They left immediately after the game.
Too much shardy tone, or was it just a bit of good banter?
Oh, no, I was fired up. I was fired up.
Unwooded or wooded?
Yes, exactly. Drink responsibly, kids. All right. What about you, boys? The other person who was very, very passionate, always is. And I want to play what Joey Johns had to say about the game in commentary for Channel 9. Have a listen to this.
It's the dumbest half of football New South Wales have played.
Yeah.
They had all the running. Their game plan was perfect. Jonathan Thurston, his performance tonight, so courageous. I guarantee you he'll be heading for an operation the next couple of days. His shoulder is stuffed.
Yeah.
There's your game plan. You just go at him all night. You go at him, and then it puts pressure on the defenders either side. They didn't go to him once in the second half. I couldn't believe what I was watching.
Yeah. I thought Joey was going to bash me.
I just could not believe it. You've got a player out there who cannot pick his arm up off the ground, and they didn't target him, his side of the field, or go at the defenders either side. If he's buggered, the defenders either side are so nervous, then you manipulate that side of the holes inside and outside him. They didn't go there once. I don't know what they were doing.
I know if you were playing, you'd have been there all the time, right?
I couldn't believe what I was watching.
So
they had all the running, and they invited Queensland back in. They stopped playing. Then they went back to this out-the-back rubbish block plays, and they just were no threat. We've got JT here, whose shoulder was absolutely buggered. How they didn't identify that...
That's where it happened.
Yeah. You can see him there. He cannot pick his right shoulder up. There's your game plan. You just go at him the whole game.
There's the passionate Andrew Johns.
And that's what that he used to do that so well, Joey. He used to identify those situations during the game, and that's what made him so special. I mean, if you were down, you had a sore arm or a sore leg, or you were limping a little bit, all of a sudden you played Newcastle, there was traffic coming at you, and that's what he did, and that was the style of player in which he was. And they probably certainly should have got at him more, especially down in that attacking zone when they were attacking the Queensland line. There wasn't a lot of opportunity to do that in the second half when it was really noticeable that JT was injured. But when they were coming out of trouble, New South Wales, I mean, he did a really good job of hiding himself, JT, and he was actually on the wing for most of the set. Then he would fall back into his position, maybe at fourth or fifth tackle when the wingers need to drop back. But for the majority of the time, he was able to sort of make himself really obscure in the line, and would have been hard for those guys to identify him. And coming out of trouble, obviously, you know, you can't get the ball over to the wing. It leaves you in really bad field position. But I think at certain points, they probably could have got at him more. But, gee, he did a good job.
I reckon Joey was bang on. They did get at him because that's how he injured the shoulder, was Tyson Frizzell went in and they were clearly targeting him at that point. We were told beforehand that they intended to target JT, and also that they intended to kick high and really try and put some pressure on Billy Slater back at fullback. But look, I think Joey's bang on. From an outside point of view, there's only a few players that I've been lucky enough to watch that you can actually see them, Tone, counting the numbers while they're out on the field. Joey's one, Cooper Cronk's another, and Jonathan Thurston. So they're the absolute elite of the elite. I thought he was spot on with his analysis.
Yeah, you're right too, Hoos, because they did get at him a little bit the first half, and it also proves one thing, that in the second half, they really did lose their way and they panicked.
Yep.
And all those plans went out the window, and they started really trying to protect the lead and just survive, and that's when it all turned.
Queensland also did a great job, which you touched on hiding JT. They got him on the wing in the second half, and it was rare that he was in the front line, and when he was, God, he was courageous.
But he did not miss a beat. But he does that for the Cowboys sometimes. If you watch it up in Darwin, he gets himself out there, he sits out there, and Sal used to do a bit of it too out in the centres, and just we used to put Sal out there. But I've got no doubt what Joey's saying. A lot of it is correct, but I was just saying the way that New South Wales in that second half, they just didn't trust their process. They went away from 60 minutes of that game, they were home, okay? And I don't care with even Jared Hayne down that left-hand side.
But games aren't, you know, how many Origins did you play?
You don't
win a game by playing 60 minutes.
You've got to close it out. That's been the problem for New South Wales.
And down the home stretch, Queensland closed.
Yeah, but that's been the problem for 10 or 11 years. That's been the problem for New South Wales, and that's why there's a couple of Origin series that there's no way we should have won, but they just didn't trust themselves.
Found a way.
Yeah, we found a way. Queensland found a way, even, no disrespect to him, but Tim Glasby, when he came on, mate, it was a tough initiation for him, but by the end of that game, he found his rhythm. And it's Origin Arena, until you're out there, mate, you don't know what choices to make, but for me, I know it's tough on Pearce, but Mitchell Pearce always seems to be the scapegoat. But
who's carving Mitchell Pearce up? I thought Mitchell Pearce was good.
I'm not talking about you, but people in general, New South Wales people in general, mates of mine said, "Oh, mate, it's Mitchell Pearce."
I don't blame Mitchell Pearce.
I think that's the easy option.
Absolutely.
I mean, the outcome of that game was based on a lot of their ill discipline, I believe, in the second half. I mean, if you look at the way that JT and Cronk played in the first half, JT put one kick out on the full. He wasn't really involved with the football. Cronk made a couple of really poor decisions in relation relation to that right edge when Maloney went through and didn't sort of got that read wrong. Sure. They did that under pressure and without the football. That's what they did in the first half. It was sort of similar to what Maloney and Pierce did in the second half when New South Wales didn't have the football. And we were and we were making bad decisions, and we were giving, you know, penalties away that we shouldn't have. So I think it was a more ill-disciplined display by some senior players from New South Wales in the second half that really contributed to the fact that Queensland just played, you know, the long game, didn't they? They were just it, knowing that if they held on, they held on, they held on. They'd done it so many times that something might happen. They weren't sure what it was going to be, but something might happen. And I think that contributed more than Maloney and Pierce, who I thought, like you, Hoops, when the forwards were dominant and when we did have sort of that that momentum in the first half, they were brilliant.
But another thing that people are saying contributed, Gerds, and I want to ask you, because you played plenty of left centre for New South Wales, should Jared Hayner pass that ball to Brett Morris in the first half?
Yeah. Look, on the night it was hard to tell because it looked like there was some cover coming. I don't know whether Morris would have got there, but he probably should have given him the opportunity to get there, yeah. And that then the play, look, Jared come out and admit it himself. I mean, a couple of plays that he wish he didn't make, and I'm sure for game three he'll realise that it's a team game. And you know, we got to be in it for the long haul. We got to be in it for that 80th minute. And the little things in Origin, I think the big lesson to come out of that for New South Wales is the fact that you need to understand that it's the little things, the Wade Graham, you know, charging up out of the line, just those little moments that you get wrong under fatigue can cost you the game. And they do, and it did.
Boys, we also got to not take any away from Queensland, like to stay in that grind, to do what they did for 80 minutes. Mate, 16-6, I thought they were in trouble. And before half time,
they were in trouble.
When Brett
Morris didn't get that ball and score, I was happy. I thought, oh, this is going to be a carve-up. It's going to be terrible.
But not just that. What about Trbojevic? Like, the way that he played, Josh Dugan's tackle, yep. I thought, you know what? Our time might be gone now. I just don't know. I think there was a stage in the second half too. Did Trbojevic get taken off? I thought he was outstanding for New South Wales.
Yeah, but you go into a game with a plan. This is the thing. And like the coaches, I would imagine, go into a game with a plan. And you expect all your players to be brilliant. And you can't change your plan based on performance. You can't say, gee, that guy's going good, let's leave him on there. If you've planned to have Fifita and that off for a certain amount of time. So I think all those decisions, you know, based on you're trying to come up with reasons why New South Wales lost, it was the discipline. It was the way that they played. It wasn't any of those other reasons that you could possibly find. I think the interchanges and that, well, they all worked out the way that they had planned, the way that, you know, 16-6 up and could have gone on. And as you said, Tony, been 30-6 in the second half.
And just as easily, and you can understand how the players, New South Wales players, given the history of these two teams and what goes on, as soon as that first try is scored in the second half, you can understand them getting suddenly wary about it, because as a fan, I was suddenly worried.
Tightened
about
up.
It. Suddenly they're there. Queensland are there or thereabouts in an important State of Origin game. You expect something to happen. It's exactly what it did. What about Andrew Fifita? He obviously wasn't as big as he was in that first game, and he was targeted quite rightly, and they did a very good job on him.
Yeah.
He then did a little bit of he wasn't happy with what I think Josh Maguire had to say, a bit of sledging post-game. Might use that. He said, bank that, use
Please.
That.
Yeah, look, there was a couple of things that come out, like, just suck it, you know.
Zip it. Seriously, guys. Like that.
Chew down on it and get
that,
on with it.
When I saw that in the aftermath of the game, so if you're going to be the best player on the field in State of Origin 1 and you're going to cop all the plaudits and all the headlines and all the raps.
Stays on the field.
Well, mate, in game 2, if you cop a little bit of niggle, please, just cop it, zip it and get on with it. So if he wants to use it as ammo, good luck to him, but you don't need to tell the world about it.
A couple of years ago, when Clemmer and Corey Parker went head-to-head Corey Parker said, mate, I loved it. And, you know, a passionate Queenslander, I love that a young bull like Clemmer would try and give it to Corey Parker. I'm not sure what was said, but that added some fire for the next Origin, which that was the game that Mitchell Pearce, I think, said something to Thurston. And then even like now, Josh Maguire and Andrew Fifita, there's our new... We always talk about having battles. There's our new battle.
I saw a lot of verbal between Josh Maguire and Clemmer in this last game, and I've seen it over the course of the last however many games since that incident, and it's part of it. And what I love about it is neither of them say a word about it once they get off the field.
And that's what it's about. It's respect, and just get out there and do it.
But you're right, I do like there is suddenly a little bit of antagonism, because early these are two teams who loved each other very much. Now there's suddenly some tension.
There's a lot on the line.
There's a lot on the line. Yep. It's going to be huge.
And even Kevin Laurie, that, just just before the Origin, the wrestling stuff, and then they're on 360, and it's classy. It was classy.
Kevy worked the referees beautifully.
It was, come on, mate. Laurie's pretty good at working them too.
Beautifully. This is Saturday Triple M NRL. We're doing it for Brighton's Lawyers. Going to look at some of the other games in the NRL as well, including the Warriors, their 21-14 win over the Bulldogs, and our best of the best, Nigglers. Mm. Those guys who just do a little bit to you during tackles. I want to get the three best from you, gentlemen. Saturday Triple M NRL.
The Brighton's Lawyers, protecting your future. This is Saturday Triple M NRL with Peter Stern, Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor and James Hooper.
Oh, what a tackle!
Beautiful tackle!
Triple M rocks the footy.
And Sterlo will be here at 2.30 before that 3 o'clock kickoff. The Cowboys taking on the Panthers. The Cowboys, obviously, without Jonathan Thurston, as they will be for the rest of the season.
Do you put a line through them, Tony?
Well, I might throw them into the stock
I think
market.
I did last week.
Yeah. Did you put a line through last
without
week?
Scott, I think. Yeah.
Tony, it'd be remiss of me not to give Freddie Fittler and the New South Wales under-18s a plug. Uh-huh. They beat Queensland 35-28, I think. It was a cracking game. So well done to Freddie and the young boys. And there's a young kid there, Zach Lomax. Mate, watch him. He's an absolute superstar.
Where is he from?
He's Dragons. He's a centre, Australian schoolboy centre.
Okay.
So, yeah, he's going to be pretty good the next couple of years.
There is one name. I'm going to look for some other names from you gentlemen with this.
On Triple M NRL, the best of the best.
Yes, indeed. We talked about Josh Maguire. We talked that maybe there's a bit of niggle came into that game, so that immediately puts a thinking cap on. Who are the best nigglers in the game? I know you, Wendell Saylor.
In the game currently or?
No. Can be
over even time.
When you were playing, you obviously would have had the experience, or I don't know, maybe you were a secret niggler good.
No, I wasn't a niggler.
Were you a secret niggler?
No, not really.
Mm-hmm.
Did you talk it up at all?
Did you play with any nigglers?
Steve Carter. Carter was a bit of a niggler and... And okay, one of my guys, but he's not in my three, but you want me to give you my three? Because I played with another niggler.
Okay, Ryan Girdler, you can be first man for your three.
The other guy that I played with that was a really good niggler was the great Tigers half Gary Freeman.
Oh, the Wiz. He's a mate of Wendell's.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I love the Wiz. He's a champion.
He came over. Oh. He was just an absolute pest, a lovely bloke. But even at training to his teammates, I mean, he was just poking and prodding the whole way. And he was the best at...
That's what Hopper was doing to me. I'm serious. Quite literally.
But always at scrums, Wiz, you know, like just he used to love, just before he'd feed the ball, he'd just giving it to the other pack. And he was very quick and a very funny man. So Wiz is definitely in there.
Yep.
Another guy, which is in the... I never played with him, but watched him play, and he looks like he'd be just a real pain in the ass to play against, Kenny Edwards.
Oh, yeah. I like it. Yeah.
I mean, he's just a pest, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's just the best. He's the best modern-day niggler since my other one retired, which was Michael Ennis.
Yes.
Was the other one. So Freeman, Edwards, and Ennis for me.
That's a good group.
It's not a bad group. Wouldn't like to have them all in the same side, would you?
No, all the same.
Hooker, half, and back row.
Exactly. All right, James Hooper, who are you going to go for in your best of the best nigglers?
Oh, look, being a Balmain fan as a kid growing up, Tone, I love watching Benny Elias play, but he was a great sledger. That famous line where Boxhead got the better of him when he said, hurry up, Benny, I've got a test match to play in State of Origin. But Benny was one of the great pests.
Yep.
Greg Bird. I really, really liked watching Greg Bird play for many, many years. And actually towards the end of the career, he started to annoy me because he was such a pest. And he would, especially in State of Origin, he'd give away penalties at crucial points. And we weren't able to get the job done while he was there at stages. So, yeah, he used to really frustrate me immensely. You can't have a best of the best nigglers without the menace, Michael Ennis. Absolute world champion.
Gold medalist.
And if you ask any current or even retired player who's played in the last 5 years, I reckon he's the first name on the list. And an honourable mention to someone who Wendell touched on earlier and he knows up close and personal, the great John Hopewadi. He's almost the gold medalist.
Brought the game into the digital era.
He did. He let his fingers do the walking, Tone.
Exactly. I know firsthand, Tone.
Do you? Firsthand, secondhand, well,
yes. Boys. You know, I mean, I niggled a bit, but there was a lot of good nigglers in the game of my career. And, mate, a guy that you would know, whenever he used to come on off the ruck, he's not that big in stature, but, geez, he was a menace. He used to, if you ever look back at it, he used to give it to Laurie Daly too, and me, just picking on us, Steve Carter. Mate, he wasn't big, but he used to just get into you, and then he used to jump at the last minute sometimes to get around your head. And I think a couple of times he got me a little beauty, and I got penalised.
Yep.
Another one I'd have to say... This is, mate, Darren Tracy. Darren Tracy is a bloke who just, for some reason, it just find a way to tick you off. And so whether it's, you know, pushing you back down, you know, cheap shotting you in the head. I think, you know, Darren Tracy's in that.
Elbow in the face.
Yeah, he always annoyed me. You know, he's a big, strong sort of, you know, back rower.
Yeah.
But this is the best. I reckon you guys have forgot one of the best ledgers of all time, you know, and one of the best nigglers. Mate, this guy, one day, I was at Manly. He was having the game of his life.
I know who
and mate, and I was saying something to him, and he was calling me a dog and all this sort of stuff, and I didn't really understand him. Mate, Terry Hill.
Mate,
Terry Hill and John Opawati, they play together sometimes, mate. Can I tell you, Terry Hill, mate, we sort of forget how good Terry Hill was, you know. That one day, I think the Broncos, we were down 22-6 or 20. No, we were up 22-6 or 22-8. He got him back down that right edge, and he was so strong. But if you look at him and Gordon Tallis in that origin,
yep.
Terry Hill, tough, old school, just never took a backward step.
So you got Terry Hill, and you got Hopper in there or not?
Hopper and Steve Carter, they're my... Steve Carter's in there. And also,
well, how'd you get Darren Tracy? Yeah, well, Darren Tracy in there too.
Special mention, okay. Mate. Darren Tracy.
All right, I like them. There they are, the best of the best nigglers in the game. This is Saturday Triple M NRL. Triple M doing what it does best, just rocking the footy for you. All heading towards that 3 o'clock kickoff. The Cowboys taking on the Panthers. Peter Sterling will join us at 2:30. The voice of Maroon will also be here. I guess the throat and the nose and the eyes, they'll all be here.
Yeah.
Apparently he was on fire last
draggy,
night.
Sorry, asking here completely, won't he? Was he on fire last night?
Apparently he was on fire last night. He had the one of Sydney's hottest couples, Zach Bailey and Emma Lawrence, in commentary call together, and Maroon was absolutely hitting him right off the middle.
Yeah, he was good, but I've got to say Emma Lawrence was good, so she was the co-caller last night, and she did a really good job. So, and Zach was very good on the sideline. So well done there, Zach, and hope it was nice and cold for you, mate. You did a good job.
At Campbelltown?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. It was great to watch on the telly, just the steam coming off the bonces of the players. It was one of those great games, and the forwards to get together, it was just like a campfire.
Is that when you switched over from the Swans?
Yeah.
sorry, mate.
Tell the truth, Tone. Did you have them both on?
Sorry. Yeah, of course I had them both on.
He's got two TVs, though.
Were we at the Nelson, or were we in the estate? Were we at the estate?
In the Blue Mountains?
Like I was in the helicopter midway.
He was in the east wing. Just away from the east wing.
Actually, you know who else was good last night? I don't like to rap him too much, but Billy Harrigan was good. There was a couple of calls that were really like you thought, and he called them early. Mate, I'm not sure what they're doing in the bunker, but I reckon get Billy Harrigan on board.
Who are you? You're now just like giving reviews what about of your fellow staff and how well they're going. I need Emma to come in and say, well, Del, look, I've got a few things you could fix
Tony,
up.
At the end of the show, Wendell wants to speak to you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what? I'm sorry, boys.
There are people here employed to listen and give their critique.
Well, probably...
That's not your job.
I'm probably excited because Queensland won Origin too. So sorry, mate. That's just what I'm like. I'm just happy for everyone. You were happy first Origin, mate. Come on, mate.
No. I'm an independent journalist.
No.
I come down on the side of rugby league.
No, that's not you, mate.
So look at the Type House scoreboard. The Warriors 21, the Bulldogs 14. Is this the game in which those people did very well?
that was the game as well as the coverage.
Exactly. 21-14 was the result. Doggies fans won't be incredibly happy. It's been a poor run. They did, of course, get over the top of the Dragons recently, but no Kieran Foran for the Warriors.
No.
They managed to get their goods.
Yeah, they looked a little bit better. This is their time of year, isn't it? Making a little charge up to about 16 points now. So, you know, sitting within range of probably the top eight. But the Doggies, just falling away. Can't score points. It's hard to put your finger on. The effort looks like it's there. Josh Jackson's got to get a big mention because he was just phenomenal again last night. Saved a couple of tries and just, guy does it. Yeah, but I mean, that was just he saved a certain try. Yeah. And sometimes you got to make that decision to give him away. And I thought it was the right call.
Did you see the tackle?
Yeah.
Mate, if you haven't seen the tackle.
Yeah, on Sean Johnson.
Sean Johnson on full flight. Mate, Sean Johnson was home for all money and Josh Jackson found something. It was unbelievable.
He's gone. Isaac Luke, I think, is dislocated his shoulder.
He'll be out for a period. But the young guy that came on for him, Roach, he hasn't played a lot of first grade this year, but he showed some positive signs, and I think he'll be a pretty handy replacement for him. But, yeah, again, just don't know. With the Doggies, it's just hard to put your finger on it. Their kicking game was poor. Their attack was poor defensively. Like, they only miss about 15 or 16 tackles every game. So, you know, everyone says, defense is attitude. Well, if that's the case, these guys' attitude's right. They just don't seem to have, just much of an idea when they've got the football.
Look, we called that game last night, and we say it time and time again. I don't whinge about it, but you know, guys like Clemmer and that backing up, like he must have been tired. I think the first one or two players he had. I think he made a mistake in that. But, you know, I'll tell you who the Dogs miss, Brett Morris. They just missed that finisher. In those conditions, it's slippery, it's wet. Man, they were in that game for a long time. There was a couple of dubious calls, but Brett Morris wasn't there. And that's the carnage of State of Origin, unfortunately.
Champion player, Brett Morris, but I don't think he's the reason why the Bulldogs couldn't win last night, right? Yeah. I'm asking you now, what is it? Like, because surely Tone's already put the red pen through plenty of sides, but Tone, has it gone through the Dogs now as well?
Oh, yeah.
It's gone. How long ago?
Well, as soon as halftime, I mean, they've beaten St. George Illawarra.
But Coops, so back to what you're saying, wingers, they can win or lose your game, no doubt. But he gives you so much confidence there, like out of dummy half running, mate.
Isn't their key position player?
Yeah, but he's been playing the last couple of, they had a win against the Dragons, which I think everyone sort of got off their back a little bit there. Case before that, they had four losses in
a row. That's right, yeah.
And the Dragons were awful in that game.
They were off the
pace.
And
last night, I mean, we can all sit here and try and come up with excuses for the Bulldogs, but the fact of the matter is, at the moment, they're really, really poor.
And James Graham, he does look a little bit tight. I'm not sure what it is. Mate, they're trying hard, but, you know, you talk about those outside backs we were before, but like Fusatua last night and that big man Mamalo, they can just make plays when you need them. So they were in the game for a long time there. And they got a couple of calls that went their way, and the Warriors, they usually sort of lose those games. But all I'm saying is Brett Morris in those conditions, mate, he can find something special.
He's a gun player. That's what I'm
saying, When Kieran Foran isn't there, obviously it's all about Sean Johnson. How did he go?
Yeah, I think he had his moments. His kicking game wasn't probably as good as what it should be. I just get a little bit disappointed with Sean because, you know, I have so high expectations of him, and I just don't think he's developing and progressing the way that he probably could at possibly another club. But look, the Warriors, for mine, they're thereabouts for the eight, but you put them against the top four side and they just haven't got the capacity to win. They will not beat a good side.
I don't reckon they are thereabouts good. I reckon they're thereabouts in the eight. Yeah, they won't make it.
Yeah.
They won't make it.
But this is their time, isn't it? During Origin, they don't really—they're not affected by it. They're on a little bit of a run, but as soon as they come up against resistance at the back end of the year, they'll fall away again.
All right, James Hooper, get yourself ready because next it's What Does the Fox Say? And Wendell Saylor will be giving you his critique of how well you go.
That's what you guys do to me about me most, so you can't have it both ways.
It's a walkout.
Absolute gold.
Oh, he's a bit precious today, Big Bill, isn't he?
I think he's genuinely
the big man, the big bear.
Look at him. He's kind of
shadow boxing.
We're in big trouble in the next hour. Saturday Triple M NRL for Brighton's Lawyers.
Triple M Rock Saturday Arvo Footy for Brighton's Lawyers. Protecting your future.